Welcome back, Bristol Bay. It's Tuesday, July 10th, and I'm your host, Austin Fast. You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG Public Radio. Big news tonight. It's the Nooshigak record we've all been waiting for. Yesterday, total run to the district blew past the record high set in 2017 of 20,027,000 sockeye. As of yesterday, total run to the district sits just a hair below 21 million. And that'll keep growing as numbers from Port Moeller indicate the run probably won't tail off until sometime this weekend. We're also seeing record escapement numbers on the rivers that feed into the Nooshigak. We'll take you to the Wood River Counting Tower at Aleknagik to see what all the excitement is about.
It was like a highway going up a river. I could not see the bottom. There were no gaps. There were fish stacked on top of one another, all swimming upstream. It was like a big conga line.
Also coming up tonight, U.S. Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta and the Alaskan Congressional Delegation recently traveled to King Salmon to meet with seafood processors and discuss the H-2B visa shortage.
I've always heard you don't have the population to staff these up. Flying in, I have a different view of whether or not you have the population. It is literally impossible.
And if you've been outside lately, you know this week's been a pretty rough one for weather around the bay.
It was actually remnants of a tropical cyclone that had come up from the Sea of Japan.
And we will hear from a climatologist about what to expect from the wind and the waves going into this weekend. All those stories and more on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
All right, let's start off the show, as always, with the all-important numbers. Monday's total catch across the five districts was 1.16 million sockeye. As we've been seeing all season long, most of that was caught in the Nooshigak District, 866,000 fish in the Noosh alone. The season total red catch for the Nooshigak is at 15,043,000. We've blown way past last year's record harvest of 12.3 million. Now for the Nooshigak escapement. First up, let's look at Kings. 982 Chinook passed the Portage Creek sonar yesterday, bringing the season total to 80,000. Red escapement logged 45,300 on Monday for a season total of 651,000. 16,800 chum made it up the Nooshigak, bringing the season total to 569,900. The Wood River Counting Tower spotted 244,000 sockeye yesterday, and another 43,000 before 6 a.m. this morning. Season total is now at 5.07 million. Over at the Igushik Tower, they saw 19,200 reds yesterday, with another 6,600 before 6 a.m. today. That brings the cumulative total for Igushik to 238,000. All rivers combined, Nooshigak escapement has hit a cumulative 5.9 million. Total run to the Nooshigak District has broken last year's record run of 20.27 million. We're sitting just below 21 million out of a preseason forecast of 21.8 million. Out at the Togiak Tower, they started counting on the 4th of July. Yesterday, that crew saw 5,100 sockeye and another 852 by 6 a.m. this morning. That puts season total escapement for Togiak River at 21,900. In terms of catch for Togiak, on Monday, they hauled in 8,000 fish for a season total of 59,700. Heading over to the east side in Igigik, fishermen landed 120,000 sockeye on Monday. That brings the season total for Igigik to 1.8 million fish. Igigik River escapement yesterday was 7,800 sockeye. Cumulative total escapement is now just over 1 million. In-river estimate stands at 10,000. Add that all up, and the total run to Igigik District so far is 2.8 million out of a preseason forecast of 9.1 million. Next door, in the Naknek-Quijak District, fishermen caught 165,000 reds on Monday. Season total now sits at 1.5 million from a preseason forecast harvest of 8.9 million. Daily escapement for the Naknek-Quijak landed at 259,300 on Monday. Breaking Naknak Kwejak escapement down by river, most of the reported escapement came from the Kwejak River, 137,000, likely because that district was shut down on Saturday to boost escapement numbers. In-river estimate for the Kwejak is 300,000. The Naknak River reported 97,000 fish escaped Monday, despite the commercial drift fishermen filling the river with nets this week. For the Alaknak River, nearly 25,000 escaped yesterday. Cumulative escapement for the Naknak Kwejak is now 2.05 million. Total run there now stands at 3.9 million out of a preseason forecast of 16.6 million. Ugashik didn't fish on Monday. The season total catch remains just over 400,000 for Ugashik. At the Ugashik River Tower yesterday, the crew counted escapement of 14,900 reds. Season cumulative escapement for the Ugashik River is 120,100. In-river estimate stands at 85,000. That all brings Ugashik's total run so far to 616,000 of a preseason forecast of 2.9 million. Pulling back to take in the whole bay, total harvest yesterday was 1.16 million sockeye. That takes our season total harvest so far to 18.87 million fish. To put it all in perspective, do the math on those numbers, and 4 out of every 5 fish taken in the bay this year have come from the Nooshigak District. Escapement across all 5 districts yesterday was 595,000 for a season total of 9.1 million. Adding in-river estimates of 395,000 fish, that puts 2018's total run at 28.4 million fish so far out of a giant preseason forecast of 51.3 million. Changing gears now, here are your latest numbers on sockeye per drift boat deliveries across the bay. Nooshigak fell slightly from Sunday to average 846 sockeye per delivery on Monday. Togiak had 169 reds per delivery. In Igigik, they climbed from Sunday to reach 245 sockeye per drift delivery on Monday. Naknak Kwejak also climbed slightly, ending at 390 reds per delivery. Ugashik didn't fish on Monday, so no numbers there. Moving right along to vessel registration, here are those numbers as of 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. Igigik will tick up slightly by Thursday. We currently have 252 permits registered on 210 vessels, 42 D-boats. In 48 hours' time, Igigik will add 10 permits on 7 boats, throwing 3 more D-boats into the mix. Ugashik isn't budging over the next couple days. Right now, there are 124 permits on 94 boats. That means 30 of them are doubled up. It'll be the same for Thursday. In Naknak Kwejak, there's 321 permits on 278 vessels with 44 D-boats. Naknak Kwejak will add 6 permits on 6 vessels in 48 hours' time. And Nooshigak registrations are growing slightly once again. Right now, permits stand at 944 on 698 vessels. That includes 244 D-boats. By Thursday morning, 36 more permits on 27 boats are heading out to the Nooshigak District. In Togiak, we currently have 38 permits on 38 boats. Those numbers will remain stable at least through Thursday morning. Looking back, we're standing at a grand total of 1,679 permits on 1,318 vessels across all 5 districts as of this morning. That includes 360 D-boats total. In 48 hours' time, we'll push up to 1,731 permits on 1,358 boats, with 372 of those being doubled up. And that's your daily run summary for Tuesday, July 10th, based on tallies of Monday's catch and escapement. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back to talk about Port Muller numbers in just a moment.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Moving south to the Port Muller test fishery, we unfortunately don't have many details there. Bad weather has kept the research vessel Pandalus from fishing since Saturday. Even then, it could only fish the 2 stations closest to shore. However, we did get an email from Michael Link of the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute. He wrote that July 10th is the typical end date for the test fishery. That's today, if you're not keeping track. With the Pindalis still holed up in Port Moeller due to high winds and seas, it will make one more last-ditch effort to fish stations on Wednesday en route to another project in Nome. Here's what Link had to say. Quote, hopefully this effort will provide some indication as to whether or not there is any sort of a tail on the 2018 run. It is unlikely that there would be enough fish caught to run a stock composition estimates, but we'll see, end quote. We'll stay posted, hoping for one last bit of information from Port Moeller on tomorrow's show. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG, back in a moment.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS. Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen. Online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Welcome back. You've tuned in to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We're so glad you stuck with us through the numbers. Escapement is still way low on the Quijack River, so fishermen will stay in the Naknak River Special Harvest Area at least through Wednesday evening. Sport fishermen are now joining in the conservation effort. Along the Quijack River and Lake Iliamna drainage, ADF&G has reduced the bag in possession from 5 sockeye to 2. The bottom escapement goal for the Quijack River is 2 million. By this date in July, escapement is typically well over a million. Again, right now, escapement to the Quijack is sitting at 750,000 sockeye with 300,000 in river. Stay tuned later in the show for more on West Side escapement, which is a whole different story.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
And now we're going to delve into an employment issue that has loomed large in Bristol Bay for the past few years. An increase in demand for H-2B visas nationwide has left seafood processors struggling to find enough workers. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
I've always heard you don't have the population to staff these up. Flying in, I have a different view of whether or not you have the population. It is literally impossible.
That's U.S. Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta. At the end of June, he and the Alaska Congressional Delegation traveled to King Salmon to meet with seafood processors and transportation companies from Bristol Bay and around the state. As the meeting got underway, it became clear that one issue was on everyone's mind, H-2B visas. Finding people willing to work long, grueling hours in remote locations is challenging. Many companies recruit year-round. They start by reaching out to Alaskans and workers from the lower 48.
So returning rates for salmon plants, oftentimes in Bristol Bay we get 15%, and we're lucky. We have a group of about 7 recruiters who work year-round to find these people and try to get them to us.
But while 65 to 70% of industry workers in Bristol Bay are domestic, processors can't hire enough people from the U.S. alone, so they turn to workers from abroad. Glenn Reed is the president of Pacific Seafood Processors Association, which represents many Bristol Bay processors.
We do start our recruiting with job fairs and working with the state of Alaska Seafood Employment Program to hire Alaskans. We always get a few people out of Alaska, but not a very large number. I would say that 50 of job fairs in the state employment program would be a large number. We always hire whatever workers we can out of Alaska first, and we're quick in the need for quite a few more workers than that, thousands.
To close the labor gap, processors have increasingly relied on the H-2B visa program. This allows companies to hire temporary workers from other countries. But with increasing demand for visas among seasonal industries like landscaping and tourism, some processors are struggling to obtain any visas at all. The program is capped at 66,000 visas annually, split between the first and second part of the fiscal year. But while the number of available visas has stayed the same for years, national demand has increased dramatically. On March 1st, United States Customs and Immigration Services announced that in the first 5 days, they received approximately 2,700 H-2B cap subject petitions requesting about 47,000 workers for the second half of the fiscal year, thousands more than the number of visas available. This prompted them to implement a lottery system to distribute visas to companies nationwide for the first time. The Department of Homeland Security also added 15,000 additional visas at the end of May, which they had added in 2017 as well. Some say the increased demand for H-2Bs in the seafood industry is because processors were removed from the J-1 visa program in 2013. Others point to low unemployment in the lower 48, which means fewer people willing to move for a temporary job. North Pacific Seafood's CEO Dave Hambleton says that increased competition hits salmon processors especially hard. Processors and other industries that operate year-round can apply on January 1st, while salmon processors can only apply 3 months before the start of the season. Once granted, visas are valid for a year, giving workers in year-round plants the flexibility to go home between seasons. Combined, these factors create tough conditions for players throughout the industry. Chris Lynch is the vice president of Pacific Seafood Processors Association.
They may think that they can produce a certain amount if they're operating at capacity, but if they don't have the number of workers that they planned on, and they don't know that until the last minute, if their application's delayed or if there's a hiccup in the process, it just makes it difficult to plan. And if they do need to adapt to a lower capacity of their workforce, then that might mean making decisions about what products they produce. They might have to shift to lower value products. Certainly they're producing less volume as well, so they're able to sell fewer products. And there's a real ripple effect that takes place through the industry.
Remedies to the H-2B shortfall range from implementing quarterly deadlines to reinstating a returning worker exemption. As the meeting with Secretary Acosta drew to a close, processors also pointed out the uncertainty of the salmon forecast, which makes it difficult for them to balance the number of workers with the run.
We really don't know what's coming. We have genetic identification of the fish that's caught in the test fishery, so we know where it's going. We still don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to get, when it's going to come.
According to Hambleton of North Pacific Seafoods, what processors need most now is certainty. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Incredible. Unbelievable. That's how Fish and Game officials are describing this year's record-breaking sockeye escapement up the Wood River. I headed to Aleknagik this weekend to find out how they get those numbers and why so many salmon are passing the counting tower this year. In 4 summers counting sockeye on the Wood River, 22-year-old Isaac Reynolds has never seen another day like July 2nd.
There were so many fish packed in next to each other that it looked like one fish to me. It was like a highway going up a river. I could not see the bottom. There were no gaps. There were fish stacked on top of one another, all swimming upstream. It was like a big conga line.
By day's end, 1.1 million reds swam past the tower, setting a new daily record since they started counting the river in 1956.
I radioed up and I said, "Tim, we're getting some crazy counts here." And he goes, "What'll happen will happen. At this point, there's nothing more I can do about it."
The Tim he radioed, of course, is Tim Sands, area management biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Sands got up in a helicopter to see for himself.
I've flown a lot of surveys over the year and seen big days up there before, and what we saw was just incredible. Tom Tucker, the pilot I fly with, neither of us had ever seen anything like it. And I just simply wrote down on my survey sheet, unbelievable, and a million fish.
And another record fell Saturday when the Wood River season count passed last year's record high escapement of 4.27 million reds. At last check Tuesday morning, it's pushing 5.1 million. Sands expects it to top out around 6 million.
The escapement's pretty beat up. I feel like a lot of those fish will probably die before they get a chance to spawn. So it won't really be like we're putting 6 million fish up there. It might be more like we're putting 2 or 3 million fish up there.
All right, you made it up there in like 2 seconds. How fast can you make it up there?
I don't go that fast.
Back on the 30-foot tower with thousands of salmon slowly snaking past, Reynolds explains he and the two other counters work round the clock for a month. They take turns on 8-hour shifts tracking sockeye on a handheld tally counter at the top of each hour.
You count exactly how many fish go past in that 10 minutes. And then once your time is up, you'll switch, you'll go across to the left bank tower and do the same thing. And then you basically can take a little break and wait for the next hour to start.
On busy days, they'll bump up to counting by threes, then fives, then tens. Only once has Reynolds gone up to counting by 25s, and it was on that million sockeye day.
Ideally, we'd be able to count each fish individually, but given the limitations of the human thumb and your ability to track fish with your eyes, oftentimes we'll have to estimate.
Besides a potential case of carpal tunnel, the counters have to deal with mosquitoes the size of pterodactyls and other hazards. 20-year-old Andrew Noble from Eagle River explains.
My first sample, there's a bear right there. I actually saw him again this morning I watched him for over an hour at the end of my shift, right in the sampling eddy. So, small, young-looking bear. He doesn't look like he should be alone, unfortunately.
Dangers aside, Noble and Reynolds are both enjoying their summer camping at Fish and Game's cabin with its incredible view of Lake Olenekic.
You just get to relax in a beautiful spot in Alaska, and camp life is really peaceful and serene.
And you get to sit out here on this, well, mostly quiet, beautiful river, and watch one of the most, impressive fisheries in the world swim past you.
So that still leaves the question as to why so many more fish than usual are swimming past the counters this year. Sands speculates that warm winters a couple years back could have given them a boost they needed in the ocean.
Any little thing that can make them more competitive or survive at a little bit better rate is all it needs. And that, of course, doesn't explain why other systems aren't doing so well. So I don't know, why we're fortunate and everybody else is not as fortunate as we are. That's where my theory kind of breaks down.
He says this year's big return of 1-2s fits into a pattern of large returns that ADF&G has noted every 4 years back in Bristol Bay. That means we could see big numbers of this season's eggs coming back to spawn in the year 2022. And while we're on the topic of escapement in the Nooshiak District, area management biologist Tim Sands, who we just heard from there, says he's not ready to waive the transfer period yet, but he promises it's coming very soon.
People are asking, when are we going to waive the transfer period to Nooshiak District? We have to meet the mid-range goal on all three rivers. Now, we've done that on the Wood, and we've done that on the Nooshiak. We're still waiting for the Agushik to get to 275,000. That maybe to tomorrow, maybe Thursday, that'll happen. And then we'll waive the transfer period into Nooshiak District. That doesn't mean we're going to fish 24/7 with the drift fleet. It just means we're waiving the transfer period in. We still will manage the fishery, and we won't go to continuous fishing until after the allocation period goes away on July 17th.
Okay, it's not a free-for-all
right
yet after that.
Correct.
Good point to make. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, Austin.
And finally tonight, a word on the ratty weather Bristol Bay has been dealing with since this weekend. Pelting down rain, choppy seas, and gusty wind. But there is good news. It may be letting up, at least for a bit. Timothy Markle is a climatologist with the National Weather Service in Anchorage.
Those strong westerly winds that we've seen earlier this week and back into the weekend should go away as we start to get this dome of high pressure building in over the eastern Aleutians extending into southwest Alaska. So things should start to quiet down come midweek. But we actually are looking at potentially a repeat of this situation with another low coming in late on Thursday into Friday, which may see another round of inclement weather and, again, gusty south-to-southeast winds.
The stormy weather this week stretched across southwest Alaska. The gusts and showers were remnants of a tropical cyclone from the Sea of Japan.
The one that we're expecting later in the week, it's actually going to be two systems, one coming from Siberia and the other one in the North Pacific, and they're going to kind of merge and phase together in the central bearing and then, again, move track towards the east over southwest Alaska by the end of the week.
It's too early to say when that storm will subside, but the National Weather Service is confident that it will bring more rain and rough seas into this weekend. Stay safe out there. For the rest of your weather, that small craft advisory we've had the last couple days stays in effect through tonight. And here's your marine weather forecast for tonight. Southwest winds at 25 knots, seas at 8 feet. For tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll have a westerly wind at 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. For Wednesday night, a southerly wind dying down to 10 knots after midnight, seas fall to 3 feet. And on Thursday, we'll see southeast winds picking back up to 30 knots, seas at 3 feet. And we've got some letters to the fleet out there. To Mike Fortner and the trusty crew of the Bonnie Bee somewhere on the bay, thank you for all you do in supporting your fellow fish folks, Full Nets and Safe Passage, signed Matsumara in Odale. Then we've got a song request for Perry Lee at the Wood River Tower from Dito at the Togiak Tower, Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. I'll get it on the show just for you, Perry Lee. Also, I have to apologize personally to you for not including you in my story about the Wood River Tower early in the show. But as you know, you were too busy faithfully counting salmon when I visited, so I guess I'll give you a pass. Another message, this one is for Alexis Kwachka from one of our colleagues, Annie Fite. She's a journalist with the Alaska Public Media in Anchorage. Annie is trying to reach you to check a few facts in a story about cod decline in the Gulf of Alaska. Please call her or email her when you can. Annie's email is afeidt@alaskapublic.org. Her phone number is 907-360-7921. And finally, we've got a couple of shout-outs from Judy Bedell to Lauren on the Kindred Spirit and to Jules on the Tugidak. Hope your first season is going well. Hang in there and the weather will get better. You go, girl. Then a message for Wade on the Shawnee from your fishing friend from San Miguel. Hope your season is going well. We will have to catch up after the big run is over. Wishing you lots of fish and a safe end to the season. And now it's riddle time. Yesterday, we introduced spies onto the island of Knights and Knaves. If you remember, for this series of logic puzzles we've been working through from the magazine Popular Mechanics, knights tell the truth, knaves lie, spies can lie or tell the truth at will. In yesterday's riddle, you encountered three people, Lee, Ethel, and Kathy. You knew one was a knight, one was a knave, and the other was a spy. Lee said, "I am a knight." Ethel said, "He speaks the truth." Kathy said, "I am a spy." Which was which? The answer is Lee is a knight, Ethel is a spy, and Kathy is a filthy knave. Now, here's your new riddle. Listen up carefully. There's three people again, Emmett, George, and Lorraine. Again, one's a knight, one's a knave, and one's a spy. And if you recall, knights tell the truth, knaves lie, spies can lie, or they'll tell the truth at will. So here's what they say. Listen carefully. Emmett says, "George is the spy." George says, "No, Lorraine is the spy." And Lorraine says, "No, George is really the spy." So, who is the spy? Who's the knight? And who is the dastardly knave? I'll read it to you one more time just to make sure that you guys got it figured out. You can put your heads together on the boats out there and check in tomorrow on Bristol Bay Fisheries Report and see if you got it right. Here it is one more time. Emmett says, "George is the spy." George says, "No, Lorraine is the spy." And Lorraine says, "No, George really is the spy." So who's who? Puzzle it out tonight and check back for the answer tomorrow. That's all for tonight's show. I'm your host, Austin Fast. A big thanks to Izzy Ross and Avery Lil for their help on tonight's show. And a great big thank you to everyone who's volunteered or donated to the KDLG Fund Drive going on this week. Skippers, please don't forget to ask your processors about Pounds for Public Radio. Supporting this show is as easy as telling your tender you want some pounds to go to KDLG. They'll mark it on your ticket, send us your contribution, and you won't have to think about it ever again. We couldn't be here without your generosity and the support of our underwriters. Best of luck to all of you out there. Please tune in tomorrow at 6 or 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. for another Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.